have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Much pain, doing things you told me not to do. Lord, I need a healing touch from you. So I asked the Lord if he would change my heart. A touch from you would provide a brand new start. Change my heart and my spirit, please be new.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, I need a healing touch from you. Feels like I'm so deep in
and I ask myself the question.
I ask myself,
can he really?
How you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor with this week's Gospel News. One of the most honored gospel vocalists of the 1990s is Dottie Peoples. She debuted in 1991 with the cassette album Is It Worth It All? And Surely God Is Able, then broke out with her 1993 LP Live, which caused her to be nominated for a Stellar Award for Best Female Solo Performance Traditional. Her next efforts, On Time God, won her 4 Stellar Awards, Traditional Female Vocalist, Traditional Choir Album of the Year, and Song of the Year for the title track. She also won the prestigious Vision Award that year. Another Female Vocalist of the Year award followed in 1996. She was additionally nominated at the Soul Train Awards and the Dove Awards. Peoples also performed at the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. She released Testify in 1997. God Can and God Will followed 2 years later, and Show Up and Show Out was issued in the fall of 2000. The Denver Broncos NFL football team have a new ownership core. Earlier last week, Walmart heir Rob Walton brought the team pending approval from the NFL. One of the members of this group is a prominent businesswoman who will become the first Black female NFL minority owner if the deal goes through. We are talking about none other than Melody Hobson. She is an impressive woman with some amazing achievements under her belt. A graduate of Princeton University, she is the president and co-CEO of Ariel Investments and the chairman of Starbucks Corporation. She was also a top-level executive at DreamWorks Animation. She is also a director at JP Morgan Chase, and her spouse is none other than director George Lucas. Yes, the man who created Star Wars. Truly a moment to rejoice, as the issue of lack of minorities at the ownership level and the coaching level have been issues the NFL have been dealing with for a long time. She truly did it the right way, and that is what makes it more historic and impressive. This indeed is a positive change, as the issue of the treatment of minorities by the NFL has haunted the league for decades. A woman at an ownership position is something that is new, but a Black woman is something that is definitely noteworthy. A gospel singer with a muscular voice and versatile singing style informed by genres such as R&B and rock, Lisa Knowles Smith got her start as a child in her family's group, the Brown Singers of Memphis, Tennessee. She took over as lead singer as a preteen and made her first recording as a member in 1996. After releasing Experience the Evolution with the group in 2008, she sang backup for a variety of gospel acts, including Rashawn Mitchell and James Fortune and Fire, while continuing to perform with her family. Her solo debut release, Great Big God, arrived in 2019. Born Alicia Nicole Knowles in Memphis, Tennessee, Knowles joined her grandfather's gospel vocal quartet, the Brown Singers in Memphis, Tennessee, as a backing vocalist when she was only 9 years old. She was leading the group by the age of 12. The Knowles-led version of the quartet performed with the same flair and soulful sound as the original late 70s edition, but added more of the contemporary flavor to the mix. That helped Knowles with her songwriting. Sharing the bill with 3 other Memphis singing groups, her first recording as lead singer was the concert album Live in Memphis, released by E&J Records in 1996. As a quintet with 3 generations of family represented, the Brown Singers issued You Can Make It in the year 2000. Here is this week's top 10 gospel songs. Pastor Mike Jr. has number 10 with Amazing. Number 9, Erica Campbell, Positive. 8, Pamela Mann, He Did It For Me. 7, Fred Hammond, Hallelujah. 6, Charles Jenkins and Fellowship Chicago featuring Stephanie Mills with Never Knew Love. 5, Joshua Rogers, Still Going Trust, down from number 1. 4, James Fortune, Never Let Me Down. 3, Jacqueline Carr, My Portion. 2, Ricky Dillard, All of My Help. And our new number 1 song comes from Dawkins and Dawkins, Come By Here. Well, that's your top 10 gospel songs for this week and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor, reminding you to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can find all my outlets on my website. Go to msninataylor.com. That's msninataylor.com. Now, let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
glory, God be to you. Hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. All glory, God be to you. Hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. All glory, God.
Your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend Elder Ernest Richard on Elation Radio.
Name of Jesus, that we come before you today, Lord, giving you praise, Lord, because you allowed us to see this day, Lord. Lord, we are so grateful to be in your service one more time, Lord, that we have to begin each and every single day because of shouting hallelujah and thanking you, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, because you are. Lord, you are our all in all, Lord. We know we are nothing without you. We can do nothing without you, nor do we want to. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that you have already done in our lives, even on just this day, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for use of our limbs, use of our minds, use of our five senses. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that someone didn't wake up this morning, but you allowed us to be in your service one more time. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your glory, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your grace that you have forgiven us time and time again when we have fallen short of your glory, Lord. And so, Lord, we ask your forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus for anything we might have done in this day, anything we might have done in this past week, Lord, anything that we may be thinking we're going to do in the coming week that is not right in your sight, Lord. But we ask your forgiveness, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you create in us a clean heart, a right spirit. Bring about the change within us, Lord, that needs to happen, that we will honor you all the days of our lives, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're blessing this service, Lord. We turn it over to you in all respect, from beginning to within, Lord. Lord, we need you to be in charge and control, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are touching each person that has any part of this service. Let your glory be magnified, such that someone out there that may be joining us in this service will be changed. Someone else will reflect and want to draw closer to you. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're about to do, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your hand is on the man of God, our pastor, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're blessing him right now, that you're anointing him afresh right now. We thank you, Lord, that you're giving him your wisdom, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're ordering his steps in every way, Lord, that he may move forward and lead as you have called him to lead, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do in him and through him, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in this ministry, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for keeping our eyes stayed on you, Lord, that we may do the things you have called us to do, Lord, reaching out to others that may otherwise be lost, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, for your great commission, Lord, that each one of us have a responsibility to share the good news with someone else, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you remove any form of shyness, any form of timidness that may keep us from boldly going forth and proclaiming your holy name, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for how you're continuing to work in and through each one of us, Lord. But I lift up the body of Christ as a whole, Lord. But I thank you, Lord, for helping us to have a stronger voice, a louder voice in this nation, Lord. But I thank you, Lord, that is so many fight for others to speak, Lord, and yet it doesn't seem as though the body of Christ is fighting for your voice, Lord, fighting to let others know about your word, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we go forth boldly, Lord, compelling those in authority to be obedient to your word, to hear your voice, Lord, and to love as you have loved us, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for how you're impacting every apostle, every bishop, every pastor, every disciple, every person that calls themselves a part of the body of Christ. Let them truly be active, Lord. Let them not be pew warmers, Lord, but truly active in their service to you, active in their witness to others, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for how you're moving right now in and through each one, compelling each one to honor you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for helping us to each be the light that you called us to be, Lord, that others will look upon us and know there is something different about us, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing to help us to be that light that will draw others to you, Lord. So, Lord, we praise your name today. We thank you, Lord, for how you're moving. Lord, we lift up our communities as a whole, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for removing the violence, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for removing the drug addiction, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for removing those things that have so many of our young men going to prison, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're covering each one. You're building each one up, and you're touching the family as a whole, Lord, that all our families will come together and truly raise up the children in the way they should go, Lord. Truly teach them, Lord, your will, Lord. Teach them the ways that they should behave, Lord, the things that they should do, Lord, that as they grow older, they will do the right things, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for helping the families to get stronger in this nation. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for helping fathers to have stronger presence even within their families, Lord, within their households, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for how you're ministering in and through each one of them, Lord, as heads of their homes, as heads of their families, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for all that you are continuing to do to strengthen our families, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for continuing to minister to those that right now may be hungry. Somebody may be without shelter, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you know each one, whether they're in these United States or around the world. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're helping someone that needs food right now to get that food right now, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're touching each one that may be without shelter, Lord, giving them safety, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're touching the body of Christ, Lord, that we always have a heart to be a blessing to others, Lord, to serve others, Lord, to help others to know more about you because they see the love that we have for them, Lord, as a result of the love you have for us. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for how you're moving in us and through us, that we may be able to impact the lives of those that may be suffering in any way, Lord. And, Lord, we also want to continue to ask your healing upon those that may be sick, whether physically sick, Lord, mentally sick, spiritually sick, whatever the case may be, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're healing right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're touching physical bodies in the case where people are in the hospitals, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're healing them right now, working through the doctors and nurses, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're continuing to build up those that may be suffering in any form of mental illness, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that you are continuing to do to help those that don't know you, Lord, helping them to be compelled to want to know, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you for helping us to plant the seed, let someone else water it. But, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we are helping to draw others to you in a mighty special way, Lord. So, Lord, we praise you today. We thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness, your tender mercies, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your grace.
Yes.
Lord, we love you. We worship you. We magnify you. It is in the mighty, precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. It's now time for praise and worship. It's offered by Minister Whitfield. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, first lady. Praise the Lord. Thank you for it. For everything that has been. Praise you, the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Again, amen. Another Sunday morning that we come to bless the name of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I came to give him glory in the house today. Amen. We came to bless his name because he's worthy to be praised. Come on, what a mighty God. Hallelujah. What a mighty God. Oh, we got angels fell before us. Heaven and earth adore us. What a mighty God. Yes, sir. Say, what a mighty God. Come on in here. He's so great. Oh, we got angels fell before us. Heaven and earth adore us. What a mighty God. Yes, sir. What a mighty God. Listen to this. Come on, listen. glory, hallelujah. Hey, when I walk in trouble, hey, I know my God is able. Hey, he brought me through my trials. And yes, glory, hallelujah, I know. Listen, when I lost my friends, I know. When I thought I was all alone, hey, he made a difference back in the day, boy. Singing glory, hallelujah. Hey, I'm so glad that. Hey, aren't you so glad that? Tell your neighbor, I'm so glad that. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Let me do this. Bless that wonderful name. Oh, I'm so glad that. Come on, I'm so glad that. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Now check this. Bless that wonderful name. Hey, bless that wonderful name. I'm singing bless that wonderful name. No other name. Come on, y'all, let's sing it. Sing it one more time. Bless that wonderful name. Hey, oh, bless that wonderful name. Hey, I'm singing bless that wonderful name. No other name. Hey, hey, listen, there's healing in the name of. Yes, there's power in the name of. No other name. Hey, listen to this. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. He's a doctor in the delivery room. Hey, he's my friend when I'm friendless. Hey, no other name. Hey, let me say it one more time. There's healing in the name of. Aren't you glad that you know the name of? Jesus triple at the sound of. No other name. Let me take it like this. No other name. Jesus. I know the name, but I know it. Hey, no other, no other name is. No other. Let me go to this one quick. No other name. No other name. There's no other name. No other name I know. There's no other name. No other name I know. There's no other name. There's no other name. That saved my soul. That made me whole. No other name. No other name I know. He kept my body and kept my mind in perfect peace. No other name I know. Look through the hills. Holy on me, baby. I get the strength and power and left me anything. No other name. There's no other name. There's no other name. There's no other name. Listen, what's his name? What's his name? Say, what's his name? Say, what's his name? There's power there. There's deliverance there. There's healing there. The poem. I love the poem. In my time of trouble, in my time of need, I go to the name that brings me out, that makes me whole, that delivers me from the enemy's fear. He rescued me when I needed him the most. He gave me peace when my mind was rusted. I love the tone on him. I love the tone on him. I love the tone on him. Yeah. No other name. No other name. Therefore was the name who made the earth and made it so that we may live and be made whole. Who gives us life that more further than me? Who sent us comfort that gives me perfect peace? No other name. Therefore was the name. Therefore was the name. Therefore was the name. I rejoice because I know that I know the name of Jesus. Oh, the name of him. No other name. There's no other name. There's no other name. No other name. Listen again. Say, what's his name? Say, what's his name? Say, what's his name? Oh, yeah. I come on here. My help is prison. I come on here to die. The time I need him, he's always there. When I call on the Father, he makes a way. Say, Jesus,
Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, He restored my soul.
Yes.
In my affliction, he made me whole.
Hallelujah.
I call on Jesus. I call on Jesus. I call on Jesus.
Yes.
Hey. Call on him when you need him. Call
yes.
on him. Call on him when you need him. Hey. My late night hours have become my peace. I get in my secret room and I call his name. It's Jesus. Alpha and Omega. My beginning and the end. I call him. Listen. No other name.
No
other name. There's no other name. There's no other name. There's no other name. There's no other name. There's no other name. There's no other name. Bless that wonderful name of Mama Maraca. Bless that wonderful name of you all to bless that wonderful name of Say it one more time. Bless that wonderful name of oh no, bless that wonderful name of you all to rejoice in that wonderful name of no other name. Hey, listen, now listen. We bless God for you. This concludes our devotional part of the service. We ask you to continue to give God glory and give God praise as we turn this part of the service back into the hand of first lady. There's no other name in the tomb but Jesus. Bless them. Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I get my praise on. The Lord knows he is truly worthy. So
amen.
I am grateful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Our scriptures for this morning, or this afternoon, I should say. Our first one is an Old Testament scripture, Isaiah 61. And I am reading the Amplified Bible. Classic edition, Isaiah 61, and it reads, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor,
yes,
and the day of vision of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament, a garland or diadem of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment expressive of praise instead of a heavy burden and failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, and magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That is Isaiah 61. Our second scripture coming from the New Testament, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. And it reads, then Jesus, full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led in by the Holy Spirit. For during 40 days in the wilderness desert, where he was tempted, tried, tested exceedingly by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days, and when they were completed, he was hungry. Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, order this stone to turn into a loaf of bread. And Jesus replied to him, it is written, man shall not live and be sustained by on bread alone, but by every word and expression of God. Then the devil took him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the habitable world in a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye. And he said to him, to you I will give all this power and authority and their glory, all their magnificence, excellence, preeminence, dignity, and grace. For it has been turned over to me, and I give it to whomever I will. Therefore, if you will do homage to and worship me just once, it shall be all yours. And Jesus replied to him, get behind me, Satan. It is written, you shall do homage to and worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then he took him to Jerusalem and set him on a gable of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. For it is written, he will give his angels charge over you to guard and watch over you closely and carefully. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus replied to him, the scripture says, you shall not test exceedingly the Lord your God. And when the devil had ended the complete cycle of temptation, he temporarily left him, that is, stood off from him, until another more opportune and favorable time. Then Jesus went back full of and under the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee, and the fame of him spread through the whole region round about. That was Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. And finally, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. And it reads, beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality, as though something strange, unusual, and alien to you and your position were befalling you. But insofar as you are sharing Christ's suffering, rejoice, so that when his glory, full of radiance and splendor, is revealed, you may also rejoice with triumph exultantly. That is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Hallelujah. All right, it's now time for our announcements. It's offered by Sister Casey. Hallelujah.
Good morning, First Family. Good morning, Church.
Good morning.
Our announcements are Bible study is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. via Zoom. The Single Moms Ministry will meet on Thursday at 8:30 p.m. via Zoom. Pastor's Corner at 10 p.m. on elationsradio.com. Poverty Stand Outreach Ministries Incorporated can be heard at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WJRG Radio, which is WJRG.com, and also on WGMAP.com, and every Sunday at 6 p.m. on ElationsRadio.com. Please continue to pray with us as we join, as we pray for Generations of Hope Haiti, Go Haiti. They are still in need of many resources, and we are still working with them to provide what we can. Also, and we've also have a few other ministry missions that we've been working on, which we'll probably hear about more later. Power to Stand website is pwrto.com. Our Power to Stand prayer call is Monday to Friday from 12 to 1 p.m. The phone number is 701-801-9814. Power to Stand devotional is available. The link to the devotional is available on all of our social media. Also, if you would like to print a copy, please reach out to us and we will definitely provide one. If you have any prayer requests, please add them to our Power to Stand prayer wall. And you can leave anonymous requests, but we pray with you and for you and those requests on our prayer call and all prayers are read. First Lady, I turn this service back into your hands.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Casey. All right, it is now time for offering in the tabernacle, and we're just so grateful for those that have it in their heart to give. As Sister Casey said, you can mail to us at P.O. Box 1335, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20773. That's Power to Stand Outreach Ministry. P.O. Box 1335, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20773. Of course, we are on Tidely, but we're also on Givelify and PayPal, and we appreciate all your gifts. Amen. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for those who have heart to give, Lord, and those that had it in their heart to give that perhaps did not have it with them right now, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're returning to them 10, 20, 100-fold. We ask that you give us wisdom, Lord, and how we manage the finances that you have entrusted to us, Lord, that your glory may be magnified. So, Lord, we give you honor, we give you praise, and we thank you for these blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. It is now time for the Word of God to come forth, and before we do that, of course, we're going to have our minister of music to come back with a song, but as always, before the Word comes forth, we ask that you pray for the preacher so that God's glory may be magnified through him. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Minister Whitfield, are you there?
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm preparing you, and if you
If you would sing on me and trust my hand, I am the Lord, I see you, yes, I understand. Oh, he knows how much we can stand. And in his words, he said that he'll always say that. That I understand. He's trying to tell you I understand. Oh, I am the Lord. I see you. And yes, I understand. I am the Lord. I cherish my I will forget, nor have I forgot. See, everything works according to my plan. I'm the Lord, trust me, I got the whole world in my hand. Say, oh, stop, say one more day. Oh, my God, I'm preparing you all for myself. And when you can't hear me calling, all you got to do is listen and understand my plan. For I am the Lord, I see you, yes, I understand. Oh, I'm the Lord, I'm speaking to you. All you got to do is listen to every word that I've given you. I am the Lord, I see you, and yes, I understand.
Amen, 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 amen. We bless the Lord. Thank you, Minister Whitfield. And we do apologize in here for the sound. I think it's going out all right over social media, but we're having just a big difficulty here in the sanctuary. Nonetheless, this is the day that the Lord has made. We ought to be rejoiced and be glad. If you can just turn me down just maybe two notches, Brother Minister. I do sound like I'm about to talk to people over in the next county. I want to talk to the folks that's right here and next county to come here. That'll be good enough right there. Anyway, we bless God for you today. Let's just take a minute to bless the Lord, to just give him glory for this great day that he has given to us. As I said, this is the day that the Lord has made. Somebody ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Somebody ought to clap their hands and let's minister to God, that God may minister back to us. Let God know how much you love him and how much you adore him. He's worthy to be praised. I know it feels a little different today, but God's going to have everything under control. Just give him a minute. We're going to go right to the scripture. You heard Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, read in your hearing. You also heard 1 Peter 4 and 12. I am going back to the Gospel of Luke, and I am going to go right to one particular verse that I want to take my text from. And I was wondering if I got some glasses here, and yes, I did. Back in Luke chapter 4, I'm going to look just at verse 2. And from there, we're going to begin to share with you. Verse 2 says, and this is the Amplified Classic Version, it says, for during 40 days in the wilderness, desert, where he was tempted, tried, tested exceedingly by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days, and when they were completed, he was hungry. From this particular passage of scripture, I want to preach a message entitled, Don't Panic. This is only a test. Don't panic. This is only a test. Now, somebody's probably wondering, why did he go back to Jesus in the wilderness and all that? You need to understand something. The role of the wilderness in the preparation of any believer for ministry cannot be emphasized enough. And I'm going to stop right there and just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the entrance of your word, which always brings light. God, thank you for the excitement, for this honor, for this privilege to be able to minister your word at this given point in time. We pray that you would open eyes, open ears. ears, open hearts, open minds. God, let your people receive, be downloaded into the hard drive of their spirit, that which is going to nourish them, encourage them, build them up, and take them to the place that you would have them to go. Father, I take a step back, Holy Spirit. I ask that you would step up in me. We bind up every disturbing, distracted, disruptive, and deceptive spirit that may try to hinder, block, or stop the progress of your people from hearing what thus saith thee in thy word. God, this service is already in your charge, already in your care. This thine servant already belongs to you. I'm the vessel you chose for this time and for this hour and for this moment. Use me for your glory. God, get all the glory you can get out of my life. God, like a tube of toothpaste, just squeeze me till there's nothing left. God, we're giving over to you here and now. We need you to have your way, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I started out before asking God's blessing upon this, the role of the wilderness in the preparation of any believer in terms of ministry cannot be emphasized enough. You'll find that both in Luke and Matthew, you'll find a record of Jesus' time in the wilderness. And at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus spent the first 40 days alone. He was in a desert. He was in a place where there was nobody to talk to. He was in a place where there was nobody that could disturb him. He was abstaining from food. He was taken out of a place to where there was no noise and no actual distractions. And when you get a chance to go through both gospels, you'll find out that both gospel writers tell us that this was a time that was first and foremost ordained by the Holy Spirit. After all, it was the Holy Spirit, according to scriptures, that literally led Jesus into the wilderness. You see, sometimes we, as born-again, baptized, blood-washed, blood-bought believers, misinterpret God's plan for our lives. We sometimes don't quite understand some of the things that we go through, and many of us fail to even grow through the things that we go through. We think we got God's plan for our lives all figured out. Please allow me just this one opportunity to take the time to give what Prophet Isaiah had to say and give me a chance to share some disturbing news for those of you that think you got it all under control, for those of you that think you got it all together, for those of you that think you already know where you're going in life. You see, I found out in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, where God said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." God goes on to say in verse 9, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." But please do not allow yourselves to get in an uproar, beloved, because he also used the prophet Jeremiah, who brought some reassuring news that you need to hear. For the Lord gave Jeremiah this to say in Jeremiah 29 and 11, "For God told us, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and an expected end or a future." Understand this, beloved, the anointing of God has been placed upon your life and upon your ministry, and it came with a prepaid price. And don't get it twisted, beloved. That anointing that you have received is specifically for the work that you've been designed to do. It did not come without a season of testing. It didn't come without a season of trial. It didn't come without a season of some type of persecution or some type of trouble or some type of madness that you may have to go through that you do not understand. No wonder Peter said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you." You go to bed praising the Lord, you get up in the morning, it seems like all hell done broke loose. Well, baby, you've got to understand the enemy has now just targeted you, and it's just decided that now it's time to make you take back that testimony that you just put down just yesterday during church service. You stood there and say, "I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Long as I live and trouble rise, I'll hasten to his throne." The devil turned around and said, "Oh, yeah, let's see if you really mean what you say." And so here comes, you get up in the morning, the stove don't work. The heat done went out. The light
that's going out, but you paid the bill. You don't know what's going on. Your kids done went crazy. Your wife's talking all kinds of junk, and you're at the wit's end to where you're about ready to tear your hair out. Don't panic. It's only a test. See, we don't look at tests. You know how we look at tests? Let me show you what we do in school. I'll get back to this in a minute. It'll come. Here's what we do in school. When the teacher says, we're having a pop quiz, that's what we do. I didn't study. I didn't read my book. I didn't read that chapter. But the teacher never said what you're going to have a pop quiz on. But you're panicking. You're flipping out. Now, for those who were prepared, they did their lesson plan the night before, took time to do their homework, and took time to read the chapters that the teacher told you to read. When the teacher says, pop quiz, I got this. I'm ready. Hey, get down. What you got, Pete? Bring it on. I got this. I'm going to get past this test. You know the difference between that person that's prepared and that person that's unprepared? The person that's prepared has a level of confidence. And I'm using a school analogy to get to a spiritual truth. When you have taken the time to pray and to seek the face of God and to ask for God's direction, allow the Lord to order your steps. Allow God to direct your path. Let the angels of the Lord go before you so that the glory of the Lord can go behind you. You've got to understand something. You are the apple of God's eye, and God is not going to let anything happen. It is not supposed to take place. There is nothing that's going to overtake you or nothing that's going to disrupt or disturb you that you have not gone to the Father in prayer. This is why I encourage you each and every morning before you get up to learn how to put on your clothes. I'm not talking about these little fancy threads and this little cute vest and this cute little tie, my little bow tie. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about your spiritual clothes. You've got to understand that if you're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, you've got to put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all to stand, you've got to stand with the loins girded about with truth. You see, the truth will make you free. It will not set you free. It will make you free. And what that simply means is when you are walking in truth, you ain't got to worry about doubt and unbelief. When you're walking in truth, you ain't got to worry about lies overtaking you. You put on the belt of truth. Let you put on the breastplate of righteousness. You have a heart, a liver, lungs, and all that physically under here, but spiritually speaking, this protects the innermost part of your world. You've got to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that no matter where you go, no matter who you come across, you're always ready to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with whomsoever you come across. You've got to learn to put on the helmet of salvation, recognize that the enemy is constantly, continuously trying to talk to your mind about all kinds of wild, wicked, stupid, ridiculous stuff, and you've got to be able to discern when it is God and when it is the devil. And when the enemy tries to come, you can say the weapons of my warfare are carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You've got to learn how to take the enemy spiritually by the throat and slash it to the floor. Your success or failure to fulfill your plans literally is determined on whether you surrender or the lack thereof concerning surrender to the will, to the way, to the word, and to that with that Just have the whole thing that God has given to you. You've got to surrender to his will, to his way, to his word. You've got to be able to go into worship. And when you go into worship, you easily can go into war, spiritually speaking, because your weapons are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, which means that your war is not spirit, is not physical. Your war is spiritual. Now, I told you this before, so I might as well go ahead and tell you this again. You are a three-dimensional being. You consist of body, soul, and spirit. I could say four dimensions. You do have mind. You do have an intellect. And remember this, the enemy is going to appeal to two areas of your life. He's going to appeal to your mind, and he's going to appeal to your intellect. We got too many people out there that are just trying to opinionate
what God said. They're trying to idolize. They're trying to give their ideology, their human philosophy. Listen, if God says a thing, in my mind, it settles it. If God turns around, and I'm not picking on any particular people, please, please, those of you by social media, don't change the channel. Listen to me carefully. If God says homosexuality and lesbianism is abominable in his sight, I got to go with what God says. I'm sorry. I'm sorry our state and our country and our region have made laws for people so it can make life a little easier, and I understand, but at the end of the day, what does God say? It's quiet in here, but that's all right. It can be quiet. Let me get back to what we need to do for those of you that have panicked because you found yourself in the middle of trial, trouble, tribulation. All of us must go through a season of preparation when it comes down to ministry. And if you want God to assign you to a task that only you would be able to carry out, then you've got to prepare. You've got to go through that wilderness experience. Let me help you again with the wilderness experience. It is like going through boot camp. When you go through the wilderness experience, you learn how to get on your knees and trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, you learn how to acknowledge him and allow him to direct your path. It's a spiritual boot camp that when your loved ones come against you, when your so-called friends turn on you, when your mother and father forsake you, you know that the Lord is going to take you up. The wilderness has to play a major role in prepping each and every one of us if we're going to go through ministry. You see, when you read Luke chapter 4, it prepared Jesus for ministry. Yes, he is the Son of the living God, but in his humanity, it was necessary for him to go through the total human experience in order to redeem and bring man back to back in place with God. In order to redeem a legal sacrifice for the sins of the world, Jesus had to go through what he had to go through. Understand that preparation for the task at hand is the role of the wilderness to which the Lord has set up to deliver an example for us to follow. The first person that you should be able to lead in anything actually is you. You can't keep your own promise. Open that big mouth of yours. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there, and I promise you this is going to happen, and I promise you that's going to happen. 2 weeks later, where's this big old promise? A month later, let me show you another example. I'm sorry, I got to go this way because this is what God is saying. How many of you made resolutions during New Year's Eve? I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to just throw stuff out there. This don't mean that y'all are doing this, okay? So don't take it personal. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to give up sweets. Closet full of devil dogs. Okay, I'm telling on myself. My great-grandson got some devil dogs, and I couldn't resist. I had to have at least one. But move on. At least one. Anyway, you ain't going to do this and you ain't going to do that. You make these promises that you have no desire to keep. What I'm trying to make you understand is as you're going through, you have to first and foremost be able to lead yourself. I need to basically submit to you 7 base transformations, and I'm not going to try to do all 7 today. I want to share these things with you that will help prepare you to be endowed with that anointing that God has placed upon all who dare to walk with him. Let's talk about it for just a few minutes. And we have to ask ourselves, what happens to every individual as they progress through their wilderness season, as God preps and prepares to take them through what he needs to take them through? And while I'm thinking about it, let me throw one more thing on there. How many know how gold is processed? If you don't know how gold is processed, listen to this very carefully and apply this to your everyday living, to your life. Then you'll understand why God is doing what he's doing in your life. When gold is processed, it's taken out of the ground and it has a lot of slag and it has a lot of dross, D-R-O-S-S, meaning excess stuff around it. And this gold has to be purified. So the gold has to go into a fire for a certain amount of time until all that slag and all that dross and all that impure stuff is burned off of it. When it comes out of the fire, you've got nothing but pure gold. God is taking some of you through to take some of that madness off, get rid of some of them dead weight friends, get rid of some of them dead weight relationships, to lose some of that crazy thing that you
into the things that you used to do. God needs to burn stuff off of you so that he can have the vessel meet for the master's use. Does that make sense to anybody?
Thank you, Father.
Y'all can talk back to me. I promise y'all I'll answer you.
Yeah.
We've got to recognize that God is going to lead us into our season of growth. Not necessarily gratification. And this simply means that you are going to be tested. Some of you are going to be tested more severe than others. You're going to find yourself in the midst of battles to overcome certain temptations. And you're going to be wanting to take a shortcut. Let me help you out with something. I used to be an athlete in high school and a very good swimmer, might I add, a champion swimmer, if I can go ahead and say that. That ain't patting my own back. It was what it was. But here was what my coach used to say to me all the time. No pain, no gain. Meaning, if I don't get in and do the work, if I don't make myself available to discipline myself to the place and point that I want to get, I wanted to break the school record for the 24 freestyle. I couldn't do it if I sat around, and I'm just going to use these phrases. I won't say I didn't do it. I did do it. I'm not going to say I did it. Drink beer and smoke reefer and chase women. You can't get much done when you're in that mindset. But if you can put the women away for a few minutes, if you can let the beer go for a few minutes, if you can let the reefer go for a few minutes, if you can let the alcohol go for a few minutes, if you can get in that weight room and train and lift a few weights and learn how to do a few techniques and spend some time in that pool, that record belongs to you. I said that to say this. Some of you want to go high in God. You want God to take you to the highest height and to the deepest depth, but you're not willing to do what it takes to get there. Your wilderness experience is there to help you. It's there to help you to discipline yourself, to teach you how to lean and depend on God. Your wilderness experience was designed specifically to help you to know what it is you have need of. One thing you have need of that a lot of us don't think we need to be in contact with our Father on a day-to-day basis. Some of us will talk to God. Here's how we'll do sometimes. I'm sorry. I'm just a little demonstrative today. Demonstrating is, I guess that's the word I'm looking for. Here's what we'll do. All right. You get up. You go to bed. You get up late. You're supposed to be at work at 7 o'clock. It's already 6:15. You run in the bathroom, Father, in the name of Jesus, and you wash your face. Okay? And then you remember you hadn't finished praying. Father, I want you to bless me for this, that, and the other. And then you're putting on your shoes. I'm not going to get into all the details. Y'all know how all that works. In other words, you're trying to pray to God on the run. Get up a little earlier and take time to specifically pray what your desire is for God. Like I said, get dressed in the morning. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the belt of truth. Put on, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put on the helmet of salvation. Here's the part that everybody seems to miss. You got to take the shield of faith, by which you're going to absorb all the fiery darts of the wicked. Here's what some of y'all do. And this is not funny to me. It is, but it isn't. You got on your helmet. You got on your belt. You got on your breastplate. You shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You got no shield of faith. You just walk right out the door. And the next thing you know, pow, 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 pow. Enemies hitting you every way, every which way past Sunday. And then even worse, you don't even have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How are you supposed to fight back?
Yes.
How are you supposed to fight back? Take a guy with a knife to a gunfight. How do you think that's going to work out? That's what some of us do. We take literally a knife to a gunfight. No, go fully prepared. Pick up the shield of faith whereby you're able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Through prayer, you have been protected. Now take the sword of the Spirit, and you can say like Jesus said, and I'm going to encourage you to read Luke 4, 1 through 19. Jesus on 4 or 5 different occasions said, it is written. He spoke the word. And you've got to learn how to say what God said. You can't go on your premise. You can't go on what you think and how you feel, because as long as you are operating in your flesh, as long as you are operating according to what you think and how you feel, you've already put yourself in a position where you cannot win. Two more things I'm going to throw in here, then I'm going to bring this thing in. And I'm going to talk about something else, but I'm going to save this. This is not where I'm going. We have to understand that we have to break ourselves and remove ourselves from self-sufficiency and from self-promotion It is in him we live, we move, and we have our being. We have to better understand how to solidify our sense of mission. Our true passion comes through our adversity. You ever realize when you're going through something and you just made up in your mind, enough is enough?
Yes,
anybody ever been there?
Yes.
Enough is enough. And what do you do when you say enough is enough? I have had it. I am not putting this no more. You now made a decision to change whatever it is that you're dealing with. And in the process of change, you've got some help. Jesus said, I'll never leave you, neither will I forsake you. He said, I'll always be with you to the end of the earth. Now, when you're taking the time to ask the Lord how to make these things happen, God is going to properly prepare and get you ready to enter into your vocation. God is going to put you in a place where you can have the right point of view, where you can have the right perspective. There were three areas that Satan used to entice us each and every time. He uses what we call legitimate needs, meaning the lust of the flesh. And if you read verses 3 and 4 in the book of Luke, you'll find out that the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, why don't you tell me this bread, these stones to turn into bread. Sometimes the enemy comes at you, and what he's coming at you with, you actually have need of. But you do not have to bow to the trick of the enemy. You've got to have what's called a spirit of discernment, or a discerning spirit, a spirit that has the ability to tell the difference of what belongs to you from God and what's coming at you from the enemy. The enemy will show you gold, but the type of gold he shows you is spray painted. The type of gold he shows you is not real gold. You've got to realize that when God gives you something, it has substance, it has longevity, it has stability. I guess I could use that word. But when the enemy brings you something, it is short-term, short-lived, and always leading to some form of disaster. Many people are walking down two different roads, whether it's the Broadway or the narrow path. They'll choose the Broadway because it looks easier. I don't have to do that much. I don't have to say that much. I don't have to do this much. Some people, I'm sorry, I got to say it, are hiding in mega churches because the gift that God gave them, they just don't want to put to use. I don't lost everybody on that one, too. All right. Last thing I'm going to throw at you. I said the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. The next is the lust of the eyes. You ever seen somebody that, you know, well, God, I have to be careful with this. This isn't always the case because it goes in so many different directions. But let me use this one to give you a good idea. My senior saint, and then my junior saint, my young people. Y'all ever seen, some of y'all are married, be careful, that young man and you guys, that young lady, y'all remember when you saw that one for the first time? You're walking, and all of a sudden, oh my God, who is that? And you're looking, you know what you're looking at. Don't make me spell it. Y'all use your own imagination, please. I want to get with that. We didn't all do that. I was clean. I never did that. I was fired for it. Anyway, bottom line is you're looking at this person with a lustful look, or you're looking at an object with a lustful look. You desire to have a brand new car, so you're going to turn around and manipulate a few people to get a few extra dollars. I mean, there are just so many different examples. I'm just trying to throw these out to give you the idea what the lust of the eyes. It's the greedy longings of the mind is what the lust of the eyes is. You want something, whether it's beneficial to you or not, you just want it because you see it and you just want it. And then there is the pride of life. You want power. You want prestige. You want to be on top. You want to be the big dog, as they would say. You want everybody to look at you. Look at me. I'm so-and-so. I'm such-and-such. It's got nothing to do with that. You've got to recognize these are all the tactics that the enemy uses to entice you, to bring you down. Now, the Bible does say that sin has its pleasure for a while. But then when sin is finished, it brings forth death. You got to be careful. I'll show you the greatest enticement. How many fishermen do we have in here? None? One? Okay, if y'all never been fishing, let me show you how it works. You get your favorite, I'm going to say a lure for now. Let's use bait. Let's use a worm. Typical thing. You want to catch bass. So you cast the line out. Spiritually. Keep it spiritual. You cast the line out.
and you slowly reel the line in. The fish swims by the bait, notices the bait, turns around, looks at the bait for a minute. And he's thinking in his mind, should I go get that? That looks pretty good. That's appetite. And he starts slowly swimming toward it as you're still reeling it in. All right, then you get it in and you cast the line out again. Now that fish says, well, I guess it wasn't for me. And the next thing you know, that bait's back in front of him again. And he's salivating. I know he's in water. He can't really salivate, but y'all just follow me here. Right, just stay with me for 5 seconds. He's salivating. You know, he can taste it. So it's coming toward him again. This time it's a little closer to him. You know, this is the bait. It's a little closer. And so he watches it and he follows it. And he's like, and let me go this way. One more time, that line is cast out. This is how the enemy does it. Cast that line out. And then you said, I'm going for it. Little does that fish know that underneath that delicious electrical worm is a deadly hook. So the real him to his death. That's what the enemy does to you. Through the lust of the eyes, through the pride of life, and through the lust of the flesh. He's reeling you to your death. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he lures you, my young people, to follow your peer pressure friends, to go spend the night with Rodney or whatever his name might be, or when they try to get you to start smoking, they're helping you to deteriorate your body. They're helping you to diminish your longevity in life. When these people trying to talk you into doing stuff that you don't have no business doing, your parents have told you right from wrong, but yet still, in the back of your mind, you hear your friend Sally telling you, hey, let's go out and do this. We're going to meet Jeff and the boys over there. We're going to have a good time. Okay, I won't say that. Last thing I'm going to say is simply this. Whatever you're going through, don't panic. Don't panic. It's just a test. You see, God's going to prove to the enemy that you are everything he says. The devil is going to God and has especially asked permission that he may turn around and try each and every one of them. And God has said you can try only to a certain point. So what's going on here is the devil's trying to prove that you are a useless, rotten, unusable piece of beef just walking around, just waiting to die, and you ain't going to never amount to a hill of beans. You ain't nothing in this sight. You're just, there's nothing to you. You know, you're easy. This is what he's saying to God about you. But Jesus is saying, no, wait a minute. I died for that. I gave my life for that. That is a chosen vessel. That is a royal priest. That right there is a king kid. That's the apple of your eye, Father. That is a can-do person. That individual loves you with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, all their strength. And God gives you opportunity to prove it. So in closing, I'm going to simply say this. You, and whoever's listening to me by way of social media, on this given day, make up in your mind to be steadfast, to be unmovable, to be always abounding in the work of the Lord, to continue to move forward. Understand what the scripture says when Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But I want you to pay close attention to verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What I'm trying to tell some of you is stop moving with the ideologies of this world. Stop moving with the theology of this world. Stop moving with the stinking thinking of this world. What does the mind of God say? What does the heart of God say? What does the word of God say? Obey the word of God. You can't go wrong. You'll be successful. End of story. There's no other way to say it. You will be successful. In his public ministry, Jesus began in a synagogue when he first preached his first message, and you can read it for yourself, Luke 4:18. You heard Isaiah 61, and I read that on purpose, but if you go to Luke 4:18, Jesus made the statement, and you too can make the same statement. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, because the Lord has anointed to preach to the poor, to bind up and heal the broken heart, to set at liberty those who are captive, and to preach the acceptable year That's what you were called to do. Are you saved? No? Are you saved?
Yes.
Are you sanctified?
Yes.
Are you Holy Ghost filled?
Yes.
Are you fire baptized?
Yes.
Do you know what your ministry is?
Oh, yeah.
The ministry of reconciliation. It is your job to go into the highways, into the hedges, and to compel men to come to know Jesus Christ. I know we're in the day and age where folks feel like they don't have to come to church, and I realize that. But those of you that don't think you need to go to church, let me help you out with something. You're being disobedient to Scripture, because the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some. You might have a smile that somebody needs that day. They don't get the smile because your little tacky, selfish self didn't show up. Maybe it's somebody that needed a ride home from church, not to church, but home from church. And God already got you set up to give them a ride. And what do? You decide to go wash your car. I'm sorry. Or maybe you're one whom God wanted you to minister in your giving, because there was a particular project that needed to be done, and the pastor makes an appeal, and you just on your way off to the movie somewhere. Wrong place, right time. Or should I say, yeah, I said it right. Wrong place, right time. But when you're in the right place at the right time, you open yourself up for a blessing that you do not have room enough to receive it. When the scripture tells you to give, and it shall be given unto you, Luke 6:38 is not just talking about money. It is talking about your time, your talent, and your treasure. Some of you don't want to give up your treasure, and you start panicking because you feel like you don't have enough money to pay the rent. You ain't got enough money to pay the light bill. You ain't got enough money to pay the gas bill. Let me help you out with something where you begin to sow into the Lord, not into a man, into the Lord. When you give as unto the Lord, God has a way of making a way out of no way. I don't know how many times I can stand here and tell you, you're looking at a man that 9 years ago had no place to live. Okay? No place to live. Look at God. That's all I'm going to say. You don't need to know the rest of the story, because it ain't about me. It's really about him. But what I did was, in my time of adversity, I can't say I didn't panic. I did. But when I realized that my panicking was only creating a bigger problem for me, I stopped panicking. And I recognized that this is a test. God wants to see how faithful to him I'm going to be. And that's what he's doing with you now. How faithful are you going to be? How faithful? Now, I'm sorry, this ain't what you call a quote-unquote preaching message. No, sometimes God just lets us talk. Some of you are going through some things right now, and you're not quite sure how to handle it. Some of you watching me right now, you're not sure what to do. First thing you're not going to do is change. God said to keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. God says, trust in me with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me. I'll direct your path. God says that his steps, the steps of a good man, that would be you, ma'am, that would be you, sir, are ordered by the Lord. You're going through some of what you're going through because God is preparing you and prepping you for something greater. But there are some things that need to be taken off of you, taken away from you, removed out of your life. Don't panic. Some of you have lost houses due to foreclosure. Some of you have lost loved ones and had no insurance to pay for their burial. Don't panic. God got you. It's not like you planned it like that. I know of a story. I can't tell it in detail. All I can say was the individual changed their insurance plan, and at the time they changed their insurance plan, they would not recognize that plan. And so they had to square them to turn around and bury a loved one. And though in the moment, at that moment, it seemed like all hell was about to break loose and they didn't know what they were going to do, God helped them get it done. That's all I'm going to say on that. I can't tell their testimony when they come visit us. They'll come and take the testimony on yourself. All I'm trying to tell whoever you are listening now, don't panic. Yes. This is only a test. God bless you. Amen. Perhaps there's somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ and the pardon of their sins. Three things you need to know. I call them the ABCs of salvation. A, acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner. Recognize that if you died right here, right now, this very second, without Christ in your life, that in hell you would lift up your eyes. Two, B, believe God sent his son to die for your sin. Jesus Christ came and had to be a man just like we were so he could be the legal sacrifice that he became so that you and I could have a right to the tree of life and be reconnected to God. And finally, speak, confess with your mouth because you acknowledge, because you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says you shall be saved. Pastor Richard didn't say it. First Lady Richard didn't say it. Brother Eric didn't say it. None of us can say that. The Bible says you shall be saved. It's about faith. And it takes, if you could see the space between my thumb and my first finger, that much faith. That's called mustard seed faith. That's all it takes. I'll say this last thing, and then I'm going to open the doors of the church. I want to help you understand something. I don't think any of you looking at me or in this room have ever seen a baby come out of its mother's womb and then go into a kitchen and cook a full course meal. What I'm trying to make you understand is when you first come to the Lord Jesus Christ, your spirit is sick. It takes a little time to get that flesh of yours under control. God just wants you to come now. That's all he wants you to do. Come as you are right now. Your spirit will be saved. Your flesh will have to be trained to live according to the standard of the Lord. And that might take some time for some of you. I'll give you a quick testimony. When I first got saved back in 1980, almost everything dissipated and fell off of me. The only thing I had a struggle with in the earlier going was with women and sex. I'm be honest. See, some of y'all don't want to talk honest. I'm going to talk honest. Sex was a big struggle. But you know what? God delivered me. And here I am today. If he did it for me, I know he'll do it for you. I know he'll do it for you. But you got to make that first step. Won't you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Won't you make up in your mind on this given day that for God you want to live and for God you will die? And trust me, just as sure as you're living and looking at me, I may not be able to see you, but just as sure as you can see me, you're living and there's a time when you're going to leave this earth. The question is, will you be ready to leave here when Jesus comes? Whether it's for you individually or for us collectively as the body of Christ, will you be ready? Because if not, we're going into the marriage supper, those of us who are ready. And the rest of us, I don't need to say it, you already know. Make a decision today. Will you accept Jesus? If you will, I could lead you in a short prayer. As a matter of fact, I will. In a very short prayer. But it's your faith. Nothing that I'm saying is going to change your life. It's your faith in believing that God has the ability to save you that's going to make a difference in your life. Let's pray. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you. I acknowledge you. As God. I believe that you sent Jesus to die for my sin. I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I renounce my past. I renounce my present. Into your hands, I commend my future. Save me. Clean me. Make me whole. Teach me how to live, that I may glorify you. I believe right now, by faith, I am saved. Jesus, thank you for saving me. You are now Lord of my life. I'm living for you from this day forward. Father God, everybody that prayed that prayer, we ask that you would minister to them, Father God, that you would put the right person in their path, whether they're in this room, Father God, or whether they are on social media. God, we need you to touch their life. In this day and age, when people are calling wrong, right, and right, wrong, we need your spirit, Father God, to cover them, to teach them, to lead them to where you would have them to go. God, you've already set their destiny. And now, God, they're back in your hands. They belong to you now. And God, we thank you right now. The angels in heaven are rejoicing, and we rejoice along with them, saying, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for the souls that have been saved. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer and you are watching us by way of social media, please reach out to us on pwrtostand.com or pwrtostand.org. Let us know that you've given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. young church, a young upstart. We're not even going to talk about how many members we got. We got some, but to God be the glory. There are more coming as God sees fit. We welcome you to come and be part of this ministry and grow with us. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. I want to put this announcement out because it wasn't in the announcements. I don't think Sister Casey said it. On October 17th, which is the third Sunday in next month at 12 noon, First Lady Sharon Richard will be preaching her initial sermon right here in this sanctuary. We invite you to come and physically be part of what God is doing in her life. He has been preparing her. And we had this conversation. I ain't going to tell you what we talked about, but I'll just say this one part. She wanted to know, when was she being prepared? And I started naming these classes that she was taking. She just recently became a certified missionary. And those classes are very difficult to do. That's something I haven't done yet. Nonetheless, I'm not going to say she's ready. God said she's ready. So on October 17th, we're looking for each and every one of you to come and be part of what we're doing. Also, on October 9th, the first, second Saturday in October, we will be up in the New Haven area for the 15th annual Hollaback Gospel Music Excellence Award with Dr. Jerry Green. I will be your host along with Sister Lafrida Dinkins, Lady Bree, if some of you know her, and Sister Nikki Yolanda, I'm telling you, Medley is her last name, and I got it. I'm going to call it by her name. Medley is her last name. We will be your host for that particular program. Our special guest is Leandria Johnson and the legendary Vanessa Bell Armstrong, along with comedian Willie Brown. So come on up to the Best Western Conference Room, 201 Washington Avenue, North Haven, Connecticut. Come and be part of what we're doing. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. Heaven be with you. The grace of God continue to smile upon you. The power of God continue to work for you. Until we meet again for our 7 o'clock Bible study, our Pastor Ernest D. Richard saying that the best that God has continues to be yours. Enjoy your day. God bless you.
I tried to